Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Monday. Thank you so much for making us a small part of your day. That is Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. I am Damian Barling. We will cover the Sacramento Kings weekend and what they got in the Chicago Bulls coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. And we're going to lead off and we're going to talk a whole lot about Super Bowl 51. The overnight rating is in 48.8. Just the protest against the NFL was 49 last year. They missed. It was a record, by the way, last year at 49. So they missed setting another record by that much. So maybe the whole ratings thing and the whole I'm protesting the NFL thing, slightly overdone. Only 110 to 111 million people tuned in last night.
It's a drop. They're dropping.
Falling off. It's a slow burn, kind of like the Falcons yesterday. A slow
painful
burn.
Death.
28-3. Look, you guys know what happened. You saw it. They were up 20.
I haven't gotten to the fourth quarter yet. What happened?
Not much there, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can just skip that and just...
So you just want
to
we'll
forward to the award ceremony?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll skip Super Bowl talk, and you go home and watch it,
okay.
And we'll talk about everything.
Don't say anything else.
Spoiler alert. 44-11-40 if you want to chime in on the text line. 49er fans, we're going to talk about you also at 245. How you like me now? What have you done for me lately? Pick any song you want. How you like Kyle Shanahan and after that play calling in the biggest game of his life?
I honestly thought about that because I think that was a question, Ken, you asked last week to
Trey.
Oh, it was to Trey. Like, was there a scenario where there could be any kind of buyer's remorse at all? For the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, the way the game's going, it was like none at all. But then the end happened, and
but then you know we forgot to run the ball with the 28-12 lead.
And not just that,
you talk about you talk about deflating a fan base real quick. Kyle Shanahan's coming. Yeah, Matt Schaub's coming too. But
hold up, Chip. Hey,
we're still paying Tom Sula, right?
Can he can be there.
I mean, I know he's mopping the floors, but I mean, bring him in.
Like, does Kyle Shanahan get all of the blame for that? Because I mean,
that's a great question that I've kind of been wondering. Is did Kyle Shanahan have that much freedom? Is Dan Quinn that hands off when it comes to the offense? Did he step back enough to say, "Look, this is your job. This is what you do. I'll handle everything else. You manage the offense." And at no point did Dan Quinn go to Kyle Shanahan. It doesn't appear that he did and said, "Hey, we're going to, you know, lead the clock a little bit here. We're up quite a few. You want to, you know, Tevin Coleman only ran 7 times. Freeman only ran 11.
And especially as the head coach, who I believe that he's probably got.
Well, it's not necessarily a whole horrible head coach. That's a bad game plan. There's trust, and then there's that.
Right?
Yeah.
This is my thing now. I'm sorry, I can't have you doing any more 3-and-outs. I need you to run the ball.
I need 3 straight runs this drive. Like, a head coach can say that, right?
He's probably thinking, hey, we got the MVP on our team.
Well, that's it, too. And there's one that really stuck out to me. I want to say it was the 3rd-and-1, and I'm almost certain they were thinking they were going to run. It looked like New England was thinking they were going to run. Boom, he audibles, he goes into the shotgun. So I think there was a run call. That's Matt Ryan changing it, and I really have no problem with him. I mean, people can throw.
Yeah.
On 3rd-and-1. You have the MVP. You can get a 1st down on 3rd-and-1 with a throw. They didn't. But it's just all that kind of adds up. The fumble when they were passing adds up. But I still think in all of that, the hold was the killer. They were in field goal range.
Yeah.
And they had run some on that drive. The hold, the sack, and then the hold, and then they're out of field goal range. And then they left it in Brady's hands.
You never do that. And then you mentioned, Damian, they have the offensive MVP. And they're probably thinking, like I would be thinking, you know what? Let's just keep the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going. Because if you think about it, if they get one more touchdown in the 3rd quarter or the 4th quarter, that's a wrap.
Absolutely.
They got a field goal. Julio Jones catch. You're
right.
Thinking that's the end of the game right there. Four-something minutes left.
Amazing. 2 amazing catches in this game.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Oh, incredible.
Catches.
That Julio Jones, I thought that's the end of the game right there because you at least get to 11. You at least get to 11.
Yep.
They lost, was it 22 yards after that? It was 4th and 33.
But here's the thing. Once he makes that catch, how come they don't run from that point on?
Well, they did on 1st down.
Right.
Lost a yard.
And then, so now it's 2nd and 11. So if you're already taking the aggressive mindset, don't you throw?
No.
On 2nd down?
You run again and bleed the clock more. By the way, you know what else they did? They didn't snap the ball within 10 seconds of the play clock. They were snapping it at 11 and 12 like 4 or 5 different times in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Run the freaking clock out. Andy Reid is somewhere applauding. Andy Reid and Les Miles were at a Super Bowl party together applauding this clock management from whether it was Dan Quinn or Kyle Shanahan or Matt Ryan, whoever it was. You got to bleed that clock when you're up that many. You have to.
Yeah, at some point you have to go into, okay, let's get into win mode. We're up, but I think they got tight because sometimes you go into win mode, you're like, we don't want to make a mistake.
After that Julio Jones catch, they shouldn't have thrown the ball again.
Well, okay, but here's what they did. So they did run, right? Mm-hmm. The next one, they go to throw. Now, again, they got sacked, so the clock didn't stop. So, I mean, if you're talking about bleeding the clock, the clock was running. You know, it wasn't an incomplete pass.
That's true.
But they went backwards.
They did, which is bad. They were still in field goal range. Then the next one, they were aggressive again. They threw a completion for about 15 yards short of the first down. Holding brings them all the way back. That was the killer.
See, even stuff like that's questionable because holding happens all the time.
Right.
It does, but there's a lot of...
Matt Bryant's definitely making that field goal. Think about if you miss where you give the Patriots the ball as well. Now, you're not thinking your kicker's going to miss, but that was still about the 48. He was closer to 50-yard field goal. Now you punt.
Yeah, but you also have a chance to go up 11.
True. Oh, and I would. I mean, they had to. They were trying that. But then once you punt, you also made them go 91 yards, which, of course, they did.
Right.
But
against a tired defense.
It's a tired
who had been on the field for
pretty much all of the third quarter.
True.
Right.
But had given up 9 in 3 quarters. And then... all of a sudden couldn't stop. They were sacking Brady all the time. He didn't look like the same guy.
And
now he's, you know.
And that's the other thing. We're talking about Atlanta scoring 28 points. 6, 7 of those were from the defense.
Right.
It was a pick 6.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly you take it down to 21. Are you as impressed with that offense?
Yeah.
Got 14 pretty quick, by the way. So it's 14-0. So you have your offense moving then. Then your offense scores 7 points the rest of the way. When you break it down and look at how those points were scored, it's a whole lot less impressive.
Yeah.
You talk about put the pedal to the metal. I don't think the pedal was ever on the metal.
And
with the exception of those first – well, it wasn't the first drive, but those first two scoring possessions for them, I think they were both in the second quarter.
The thing I mean about that is they were aggressive. They were aggressive offensively in that second quarter. Like, they were just going. And it wasn't the usual show that we're used to seeing from Atlanta, but it was enough for that New England did not know how to stop it. They had no idea how to stop it in the first half.
Right.
Because they were aggressive. Here's the problem. I don't blame any players on the Atlanta Falcons for this. If you go into the halftime and you're up 28, was it halftime score is?
21-3.
21-3, I think, in the halftime. Yeah. And you don't think that Belichick and them are going to come back with different looks for you,
right?
With complete adjustments, then you are an absolute idiot, and you don't need to be coaching anymore. You got to know coming in from the break that they're going to come out with something completely different. They're going to come up with renewed energy and vigor. And you got to be like, okay, what are we going to do to counter that when they do this? And it didn't seem like they were expecting the Patriots, to come out with a different game plan in the second half. It's like they had never seen them before. Like, and I know they're never going to get over this. Did I say never? Never. Yeah.
The Falcons had 42 offensive plays. Tom Brady completed 43 passes. Just let that settle
for
a while. Let that settle.
That's a lot of passes, but they don't have a running game. So he didn't have it. There's nobody they could hand off to run the ball. So he every single play they got has to be a pass play.
It worked, though. Well, I mean, he completed 43. The other team only ran 42. He attempted 62.
Yeah.
He attempted 62 freaking passes in the Super Bowl.
It just never seemed like they had the ball, the Falcons.
That is incredible.
Second half.
Even when they were up in the first half.
Yeah.
I think they put a stat up there where New England had 300 and some odd total yards and Atlanta had about 175 in half the plays. But they were up 21-3 because everything was going well for them early on. That's just a sad state of affairs for the Falcons.
Tex Nation, keep those texts coming. Obviously, everybody weighing in here on the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. For some reason, I can't respond to some of you. There seems to be something off with our system. So, but keep those texts coming. We're getting them all. We're seeing them all. 44-11-40. Did the Patriots win or did the Falcons lose?
Oh, both.
I went more to the Patriots. They made so many plays. I think they made the plays.
You got to hit two to tango.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, there's... The game is so funny, too, especially if you follow it a little bit on social media. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but honestly, first half, it was Matty Ice is on fire. This is his game. MVP, it's his year. Wow, worst Super Bowl game I've ever seen from Tom Brady. The game ends, and it's like, what happened to Matt Ryan, and is Brady like the greatest human being in the history of the world? It's like, this is the same game. Same thing was happening. But I think New England made, even when I actually thought they made a calculated error when they were driving late in the fourth quarter. I say late. There's about 9 minutes left, I think, when they kicked the field goal to make it 28-12. I like
28-12, yeah.
Man, they still need 16. Mm-hmm. They needed at least
two touchdowns
and 2 two-point conversions. They might get the ball twice, but I think I would have gone for it there. Now, they had the big sack to get them further back, but just like, well, I know you needed 19, but... And it worked, but it's just, man, it's amazing.
Do we happen to have, I didn't check with you before, any of the sound from Bill Belichick postgame?
We do.
Or even if it's...
We have a whole lot of sound.
Or even if it's this morning, there was another press conference this morning.
We won't have this morning's yet.
He was in rare form.
But
this morning he was.
He was talking about how they never felt like they were out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them said that.
Like when you hear him talking about, he's like, well, if you look at this, if you look at them... You take away that pick six, it's really 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's a 10-3 game.
Right.
He's like, that's not a problem for us. He's like, then some other things happen that were just anomalies, that things just happen. He's like, nowhere at any point, any time did we think that this game was over, even when we were down 28-3.
Yeah.
And you look at it, you go back and watch the game. There was never any shot on the sidelines of anyone yelling.
Right.
I didn't see a coach getting upset.
Just a little preview for 1 o'clock. That was actually at the Golden One Center on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were yelling at each other. But we'll get to that at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Just a little tease for later on in the day. Go ahead.
But, yeah, there was, you know, Tom, there was no yelling.
No.
The sidelines.
Stay
nothing.
With it.
Just stay with it. And you have to just give them a tremendous amount of credit as an organization for understanding, like, their game plan and sticking to it, trusting it, trusting each other. It's a great, great system.
Here's Devin McCourty. Whole lot of other ones like that. Here's Tom Brady.
Here's the part that I think is so amazing about Bill Belichick. Obviously the record, that's incredible. The attention to detail on everything. So the last play of regulation, the second to last play, let's say, first tie game. They've already done the miracle comeback. Atlanta elects to punt. He runs down there and tells Edelman, call for the fair catch, because if the time had expired, and you call a fair catch, you get a free untimed kick. No one can even rush the kicker. It would have been about a 75-yard field goal. He would have tried it if there was no time left. There was still 2 seconds left. So that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come into effect, but he could have tried it. And that's a guy kicking off and kicking it through the upright. It's happened before. It would have been a miracle, but you try it.
Yep.
It didn't. So then you're thinking, well, they're taking a knee. How about even the play they ran? Like he's a sweep
that
to Brady.
Sweep round
yeah,
the side,
I'm like,
yeah.
It looks like a wasted play, but he tried. I mean, and it was developing a little bit, and then looked like a sniper for that White that just like
his foot got stuck.
I'm sorry, it was Lewis.
It was Deion Lewis. Yeah, his foot got stuck, and he kind of. Like
that was scary looking. Like when,
he kind of took a dive.
But he didn't give up on either of those plays, which are so many plays where people just like, and nothing happened. But he was thinking everything.
Given the momentum that they had, I can't blame him.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't stopped us for, quarter and a half.
Right.
Let's keep it moving. Maybe we could score from 70 out.
Yeah.
It would surprise no one. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jim, what do you think about all this?
You know, guys, if I could be sitting in an insane asylum somewhere with a straitjacket on, rocking back and forth on that second 11, I'd be saying, hand the ball off for two plays and kick a field goal.
That's
I don't care if the Patriots jammed steroids in their bodies. At that point, it would have been over with. They were too far behind to catch up. But we took our foot off their throat. Our defense got worn out. And it is what it is. They capitalized on, and I've said this a lot of other times, the times I watch the Patriots play, it seems like they wait for that certain moment to capitalize on that great play, and then Tom Brady goes into his form that he loves the best. He loves to come back. He was when Ryan got sacked and fumbled, I walked away from the TV because with that time left, I knew it was over. I knew what the Patriots were going to do. I knew it would go to overtime. I even called the fact that they were going to win the toss, not because of any conspiracy theories, because I don't buy into that. But I just knew that this is what the Patriots are built for, and they are going to win this game. Even at that point, I knew it. Our defense was – even my girlfriend pointed out the fact that the defense wasn't playing with the same intensity.
Well, they were exhausted. They'd been on the field the whole damn game.
Exactly. So they were spent, man. And you know what? It's just too bad it was our team that gets to go down in history with them, you know, as the greatest comeback, greatest game, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it. I'll see you guys next year, next season. But I just want to address something. Mr. Rudolph, with the things that I heard you saying about Dan Quinn, I gained the assumption you aren't too favorable on him right now. But I'll tell you what, two seasons as a head coach going to the Super Bowl is a pretty darn good job.
Oh, I think Dan Quinn is exceptional, but he will have to own this one for the rest of his career.
He really will. It'll go, though, like I said, we will go down in history along with the Patriots, but on the negative side, unfortunately.
We appreciate you, Jim, man. Thanks for calling in this morning. I know it's tough for Falcons fans out there. Pete, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this. Didn't Atlanta, weren't they going to like a no-huddle offense in the third quarter? They were snapping the ball with 17, 18 seconds still left on the play clock.
They did.
And it's like me and my friend were sitting there watching. Like, don't they should be running the clock all the way down to zero. Or, you know, 1 or 2 seconds and then snapping it. And, you know, they probably should have went to, like, their four-minute offense with a 21-3 and then a 28-9 lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Pete. We appreciate the call. And, you know, what it is there, too, is I understand what Ken was saying about putting your, you know, keep the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and try to keep moving forward. But and I get that there's a really fine line between – kind of mailing it in and being aggressive. Being aggressive is what got them to the Super Bowl. There's no game next week. There's nothing left to prove after this game. Your mentality to a certain point has to change a little bit because you had your pedal to the metal, so to speak, all year, all the way through the playoffs to get to this point. When you have that lead, I feel like there's a line of continuing to play your game, but playing smart football. And it just feels like the Falcons did not play smart football. And I think about, you know, us sitting here talking for the last 20 minutes, and I posed the question about did the Patriots win or the Falcons lose? And yes, I understand that is a stupid question because the results are the same no matter what your answer is. But I feel like we're talking a whole lot about the Falcons losing and what the Falcons did to enable the Patriots to come back. There was a fire, and there was a window crack that much, and Tom Brady used that tiny little hair-cracked window to get his whole family out of that burning house. And I can't think of any other way to put it, but that window was cracked, and he was able to get out, and the Falcons are the ones who cracked the window.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a way, the Falcons...
Dumbest analogy ever.
No, it actually makes how it... There really was so the probability of them winning was so small that late in the game.
96% the Falcons win.
Yeah.
That was the probability.
A couple plays here, a couple plays there. I still think the Falcons could have done both in a sense where, hey, we're an aggressive team. We attack. But even like you said earlier, Damien, sometimes hiking the ball with 13 on the play clock, 20. Mm-hmm. You could still be in your, hey, we're going to get to the line of scrimmage so you don't substitute your players. But let's snap it at two. We still can throw the ball. We can run too, but whatever. But I think there was a little bit of a fine line where they could have done both of those things, and it might have been a different outcome.
Ego, arrogance, that'll get you in trouble. Maybe there's a little ego in here.
Maybe.
If you're the Atlanta Falcons and you're up 28-9, 28-12 on the dynasty, you're like, you know what?
Let's rout them.
Let's blow them out.
Yeah.
let's blow them out.
It was looking like it was going to happen.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You just can't do that. You have to play smarter than that, I think, in the Super Bowl.
I think it's easy for us to second guess a lot of things. The game plan, I don't know if I can second guess that. The attitude, I agree with them if they're going to be aggressive and keep it pushing. Like, if that's how you got here, then do it. Maybe the arrogance and the ego got in the way of them trying to make a statement. You know what I mean? Like the statement, hey, we just came in here and crushed the dynasty.
We'll talk about what's next for these two teams and Roger Goodell. We knew it would be something. We weren't exactly sure what. I thought it was pretty damn good. We'll have that for you as well. We're just getting started. If you want to jump in and be a part of the conversation, keep those texts coming at 44-1140. You can also get us on the phone lines at 339-1140. More of the Lowdown next. Back here on the Lowdown, thanks for being with us. Want to thank everyone who had the opportunity to come out to the KHDK Big Game Golf Tournament yesterday. It was a nice, brisk round of golf.
How
we had a good
was
time.
It, out there?
It was chilly.
Because wait a minute, now during
it was chilly
when I went out. Oh, you guys were already done because when I went outside to grill in the afternoon, the sun came out yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was
no, we didn't have
nice.
That.
No, we didn't have that.
Like
no.
Around 1 o'clock?
No.
Oh, we were still playing, but I don't know that we had the sun.
You know, what killed me the most, when you're actually golfing, but when you had to get in the cart and drive to the next hole, that's when it was like, come on, man, there's no heater in here, where are the doors?
The wind just whipping.
Yes, and I'm trying to, like, hide behind the window.
How'd you do with some of the gadgets, you know, throwing the ball through the tire, kicking
I
the field
hit
goal?
The field goal was laughable. We all look like a bunch of clowns trying to kick that field goal through the through the post, trying to kick that football through the post. I hit the top of the tire. No one got the ball through the tire.
Or the drive through the paper. Or whatever that target. That
oh,
was
I didn't even
tricky.
Do that one. I only saw two people had actually hit that.
Yeah.
We had guys hitting the ball over into the creek on that one. I think Rosie, who I was golfing with, one of our APDs here, he might have had one of the long drives because he crushed one on one of the competition ones.
Okay.
And he was able to move that yard marker a good 100 yards.
Okay.
So, confirmation, we did give away a foursome on Friday to
Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah. I saw him, met him yesterday.
And he used the line that I'm about to have a baby. This is a big thing. I'm come out with my guys. And he brought the sonogram and showed it.
Yeah. He did. You saw that? I meant to send it yesterday, yeah.
I saw the tweet that you sent out, as he should. As I said to you in the Twitter, I'm like, yeah, every single dad keeps that with them.
And he's like, I brought it. I'm like, you didn't have to, because, no, I brought it. And then he wanted to show it. I'm like, let me see it.
Well, did you say, well, that's a healthy healthy-looking boy right there.
He's excited. Good for him.
And I also heard, guys, the best thing about whatever you did yesterday was, from what I understand, from things I've seen on social media, the in-house station newsletter, you guys made a connection with the listeners that's going to last a lifetime. And so I think that was great you guys did that yesterday. Because that's important. We're voices behind a microphone. It's like television where they can see my face. They don't get to see you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys got to go out there and hang out with them and hopefully.
We had fun. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Yeah.
Good.
We had an absolute blast. It's 12:35. It's time. And Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm. Well, where were you guys on Sunday when we needed you? Even without football season, call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. And Sierra Pacific Heating, where were you guys with the Atlanta Falcons offense that went terribly, terribly cold there for the second part of the second half? Falcons moving forward. Ken, you just said this. Dan Quinn's going to have to own this one forever. You don't think the Falcons will get over it. We talked about this on Friday. There is a Super Bowl hangover every single year. This Falcons one next year might be pretty bad.
Yeah, how do you get over that, regroup, say, okay, let's go ahead and do this Sisyphean task and push this boulder back up the hill again for 17 weeks to get to a place we haven't been to, you know, in decades, just to get back into this game and then hope that everything goes well for us like it did for 3.5 quarters and then not make the same mistake. Like, you don't think Seattle's itching for a chance to get back at first and goal on the 1 yard line
for
a chance to win the Super Bowl?
Sure.
It's never going to happen again. You're never going to be back in that situation again. That's the hardest part, is that opportunity in this particular configuration, the way it came, never going to happen again.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that, because I was thinking about that yesterday. When Bennett gets the pass interference, it gives the Patriots the ball in overtime at the one, basically. They threw a fade pattern that could have been picked off. That was underthrown by Brady. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The Patriots, who got a gift in the Super Bowl of getting a pickoff in the end zone. Are they really going to throw the ball? And they did. Even the great Bill. I mean, so it's funny when we all dissect play calling. How could just run the ball? They threw it. They threw it, and they threw an underthrown fade pattern.
Was that a legitimate PI call?
I didn't think it was the worst call. I would have liked them not to call it.
But that's the time where you don't make that call.
But
you don't make that call.
It wasn't hideous, but I didn't love it.
There's other plays where there's more contact all night.
It didn't feel like it was. It just felt like it looked like a pass interference call.
Yeah.
And that his arm was through there. No question about that.
And
they were
around.
Falling backwards.
Yeah.
So it could have looked like he – I don't know. By the way – I make the joke about Santonio Holmes all the time, mm-hmm. about his other foot not touching the
Yeah.
Did he score last night on the final play? Because I'm
a
thousand. I thought
his knee was down.
I absolutely think his knee was down.
Okay, I was screaming at the monitor. I'm like, his knee's down. And then I see the graphics come up. I'm like, oh, well, I guess that's
and it
a wrap.
Was and Joe Buck was just like, I don't know how they would overturn it at this point.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I don't think he scored.
Yeah, Brady was like the only one that was kind of like hesitant.
He was like, hey,
let's
everybody
wait.
Step back. Yeah.
And
but, of course, Jay Ross, once again, for the second time in 12 months, Jason Ross tweets, confetti guy's pretty confident.
Yeah. I mean, that was already out. I'm like, well, is that did he?
I don't think he did. I swear right. I've seen that 10 times today, and I don't think he
Were
did.
Were you 100% sure, too, on the two-point conversion by Amendola? I thought, did they look at that again?
No, he broke the plan on that.
For sure?
I felt
okay.
like he did.
The one that got me, the only one that I think really got me was the catch. Because I was like, he didn't catch that. Like, why are they even calling? The ball bounced up. Like, I saw
yeah,
it. Like, I saw it live.
The official to call that live was crazy.
I mean, and then you go back and see that it did bounce up. It bounced off a leg,
yep.
an arm. He caught it again and then went to the ground.
Crazy.
That's, to me, 10 times better than David Tyree's catch.
Oh, absolutely.
10 times better.
Yeah.
Ken, thanks for holding, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I know the people in Atlanta are going to have a probably two-year hangover because they're not going to be over this at the beginning of the next season. And it just goes to show that I don't know if Dan Quinn, being from Seattle, he brought a little bit of that Seattle nonsense with him. But those guys, the Atlanta coaching staff down the stretch, made a series of calls that was designed to lose them the game. And I just shook my head as I watched them. The first one was when – after New England scores to make the score 28-20, they put their hands team in. New England kicks the ball away, and they get the ball at the 10-yard line. Now, fortunately for them, they were able to make some plays and get the ball down the field. That was the first dummy call. The second dummy call is, and you guys have discussed this, you got the ball. Julio Jones has just made the Super Bowl catch of the game, probably of the last six Super Bowls. And what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball, and you're going to lose yards. Okay, but that's okay. As long as you're running the ball, two things are happening. The clock is running, okay, and you're not putting yourself in a position to turn the ball over. So they go back to throw a pass, they get a sack, and the next play, they get a penalty. Now they're out of field goal range. There is nobody looking at that game. And for me, I'm looking at the game with a bunch of people who they're not football fans. They're getting together because it's the Super Bowl. And I find myself telling these people when the game is 28-3, this game is not over. If New England scores the next time they get the ball, this game is not over. And for the life of me, I cannot understand. Even if you don't think Edelman catches that ball, why do you challenge him? Why? You got one timeout left. They're driving the ball. If they score, if I'm looking at the time, he's going to give me about a minute left on the clock. With Matt Ryan and a timeout, I got enough time because you won a game earlier this season with 36 seconds and a timeout.
You know why I think they challenged it, Ken? You know why I think they challenged it is because New England was running to the line to snap the ball, and they weren't going to have an opportunity for their guys up in the booth to take a look at it and have a definitive call as to whether, yeah, you got to throw the flag. In that instance, you probably have to take the chance and throw the flag.
I'm thinking to them, the last thing they want to do is give New England any kind of opportunity. And I really thought that they opened the door when they didn't run the ball, when they had the ball in the 22. Matt Bryan kicks those field goals blindfolded in his sleep. And it's like 3 minutes and 30 seconds at that point. If you run the ball, at least you force New England to either use their timeouts to save time on the clock, or you're going to run the ball down, and it's going to be less than 2.5 minutes left, after you kick a field goal for them to score twice. I just thought that the calls that the Atlanta coaching staff made in retrospect, and when you look back and you dissect this game, they're going to start looking at all the calls they made, probably starting from 28-9 in the third quarter, and I'll bet you there's at least four calls that you kind of look and grimace and say, you know what, in retrospect, maybe we would have done something different. You get hit on a sack fumble on the third one. On the third one, and you throw in the pass 8 yards behind your line of scrimmage, your quarterback gets sacked, you turn the ball over, they go down the score, and now instead of a 28-12 game, you got a 28-20 game.
Ken, we appreciate you as always, my man. Thank you. Here on the text line, 44-11-40, man, Ken is all pro Monday morning quarterback, Hall of Famer.
Of course.
We got to start blocking out longer segments for Ken, man. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the Kings at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. They had an interesting weekend, and some of the fallout continues to happen. Steve Kerr, that was an all-time ejection.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, I don't want to say it was fantastic, but I think Grant Napier said it. He got his money's worth. Plus, Roger Goodell last night, great, great stuff. We got that coming in 4 minutes here on the Lowdown. It's 12:48, and Sierra Pacific Heating Company reminds you to stay warm. Even without football season, call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. It's interesting watching the replay of this game and pinpointing, you know, knowing the result and be able to point out everything that's going wrong.
Yeah.
Then the obligatory shot of
owners.
Arthur Blank on the sideline.
Yeah, who was imaginary high-fiving
oh,
people.
Oh, man, he
Giselle
was high-fiving.
Celebration at the end. Where
that
she
was great.
That was a lot of hair. That was pretty cool. She was authentically happy.
That was a fantastic. That was a great shot by the camera crew to get that. And the fact that she went reverse video.
Perfect.
She didn't,
and
she
we
didn't,
could see it.
Yeah, we got to see the video and her. I thought that was great stuff.
Can we change
her,
OT, though,
her
by the way?
Filming.
It was good.
Is her great, great position.
Yeah.
You would think she had done it before.
Right.
Yes.
You think that she's a model or something.
Yeah. We need to change over time.
Yeah. And it did, not because the Patriots won. They won it in fair and square in the way
no,
the
it's
rules
the
are set.
No, it's because of the Patriots.
That's the way we're going to.
It feels like, okay, one more possession. Let's see what happens. But I wonder if this will be something that is a catalyst to over time getting changed or maybe getting changed in the Super Bowl or getting changed in a playoff game.
So only your own. How do you feel about it in the regular season?
Oh, I don't like it there
right,
either because I don't like
ties.
Yeah. We can't – no more ties. We're in a day and age, none. We don't need that. It's messy, no need, and I know that it's about player safety and all that. That's fine. There's not another game. This is the game. Let's figure out a better way to end it than that. But it should be uniform.
Yeah, it
same
seems
in the
not, very, not fair at all that, you know – and I know it sounds like we're sour grapes day after, but no. We want to see.
Hey,
the look,
best. Man, we're not in Atlanta. We don't care that the Falcons won.
Yeah, I would have said the same
see
if they won.
The best, the most competitive, and the most fair game that we can possibly see.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, you have these two teams that have come here. One team scored 28 points, the other one scored 34. And they get that team never really had the ball, the
right.
Falcons. Never
the
really had
half.
The ball.
Yeah.
And not that that's, you know, anyone else's fault, but we feel like at a championship level, you should let both teams should go out with a chance to win the game. You get a chance to win, or we just to keep us here.
And I think as a Super Bowl, no one would complain if, let's say, for instance, the Falcons go down. Let's say that that's the rule, and the Falcons go down, score a touchdown, and now we're in real life, sudden death. So the next team that scores wins, and the game goes on for another hour. It's the Super Bowl. I don't think anyone's going to get upset.
Nope.
And by the way, this game was very, very reminiscent of the national championship in that it wasn't a good game.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination. But the end,
great
the
finish.
Final fourth quarter, the final quarter was incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely tremendous.
Well, for one team, yeah.
Well, I meant as fans. That's so good. That's so good. The game. We're watching the NFL Network. The game is over now. Now watch. Look, we're watching this in real time. And
okay, he's wrapped up.
Knee there.
Knee's down before. Ball.
Isn't he
it's
down?
Totally down before he broke the plane.
I can't tell you.
I
mean,
it
that's
feels
so
like
close.
He's down. Look! Look! Look!
Yeah.
How close that view is.
So,
knee. Okay.
Ball.
Knees down. Oh man, that's
close. Really close, but it looks
but
like
if they
it's
said
down.
No, then you go, I see it. If they said yes, you say I see. I mean, that's not concrete to me.
No, it's not.
Don't you have to say? Don't you have to say no if you're unless you're 1,000%
okay,
positive?
Did you see what else was happening at the end?
Would he grab his business? What happened?
No, at the end, he doesn't have control of the ball.
Because that doesn't matter on a run.
No, no. A Falcon player, he's still trying to reach over. Falcon player knocks that ball, and it starts to come out, and then he puts it down in the end.
It doesn't matter. On a run, it doesn't matter. It only has to break the plane. That only matters if it was a pass. Isn't that crazy?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
No, that's
you
the absolute
still have
truth.
To have control of the ball.
No,
when it breaks the
once
plane.
It breaks the plane,
but
that's
you
it.
You have to have control of it.
No, you don't.
You all can't you... throw the ball across the plane.
No, yeah,
so
he had control.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's saying he had control past the line when the ball starts to get loose. I just don't think he should have. I just think his knee was down before the ball got to the plane.
Pick up the confetti.
That's the thing.
I think there are two questionable elements. The knee, I'm with you on that. And I think the ball may have been coming loose. That's two reasons for the officials to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like they should. I feel like in that situation, you have to say no.
Right.
Because if you say yes.
You're certain.
I mean, you saw what happened when you say yes.
Yeah.
If you say no, it's like, okay. And even if you did score, the Patriots could take a look. They could throw the flag. You could do whatever in that point. But if you don't, you get the result that we got last night. It just doesn't feel like he got across. It couldn't possibly be any closer, but it looked like
his
knee
was super,
down.
Super close. And it's one of those things where just the fact that we're even talking about it means it's too close.
Mm-hmm.
Means it was somewhat debatable. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that in a championship game.
Yeah.
You want to be like, you know what, guys, it's not clear cut. All right, third down. Because that would have been third down, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It would have been third down and goal. Sorry, guys. Let's go.
And we've seen games end on a goal line before.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots have
they
seen games end on a goal line before. And then there was this. Take it. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Help me.
Didn't thank the Atlanta Falcons. Didn't thank the city of Houston. Didn't give kudos to nothing else. Just realized when he started talking, that is full on like Vince McMahon 1998 heel wrestling owner right there. That is hatred.
Now, my question is, for what?
Probably everything he's ever done as the NFL commissioner.
I will accept that.
Thank you.
But I'm positive that it wasn't for that.
Oh, it wasn't. It was for Deflategate.
Exactly.
But there still, were a lot of Falcons fans there.
I think everybody you don't speak in I'll speak in general terms here. I firmly believe everybody hates that man. And I'm using everybody in the most general sense. I think everybody hates him.
And, you know, I'm not even – that's not uncommon for whatever reason in commissioners. I mean, Bud Selig shows up, boo, people are booing him. There's a time where Stern's been booed a lot. He's not booed here.
Let me ask you this. If Roger Goodell were to announce his retirement and go out for one more draft, do you think that they would cheer him in his final draft like they did David Stern? Was booing David Stern fashionable? Did David Stern turn those boos because he played it up? I mentioned Vince McMahon because he played it up saying, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Do better than that. Give me more.
I don't know. It's weird because then it's turned like the nobody boos Silver.
Nope. Yeah. Nobody boos Adam Silver. Hmm. He's hated.
That dude
is hated.
And the thing that is kind of untoward.
Now, they'll show the handshake here in just a second. The camera catches it late.
Right. Now, I'm already watching, and immediately when he started to talk, you could see the body language. Michael Strahan is looking up at the crowd, and he has a look on his face like, and it's just kind of, you can tell he's looking up direction at the boos. And I feel
Robert Kraft barely looked at him, too.
That's my thing that I feel like is untoward. He's wrong.
Who, Kraft?
Yes, he is.
All right, hold that thought.
He's
we'll
wrong.
Come back. We'll revisit that. Also, we'll talk Kings. Interesting weekend for them, and the fallout continues, especially for Steve Kerr. That's next here on The Lowdown.